Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Leverett Ball Show. And on this episode, I am joined by Corey Dillon. And Corey, during his NFL career, was a four-time Pro Bowl running back and Super Bowl champion for the Patriots and Bengals, and was also named to the Patriots All 2000s team. And Corey, you know, first off, you know, I appreciate, you know, you joining me on the podcast, and you know, definitely want to talk some football and other things. But before we get into that, you know, today is Halloween. I've got to ask, are you a big Halloween guy? Are you doing anything to celebrate after this?
Nah, man, I don't celebrate Halloween, man. Not at all. this is one of those days I sit out.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Although, you know, have you ever, you know, sometimes kids will dress up as football players for Halloween. Have you ever at any point on a Halloween on any year, you know, seen kids rocking the Corey Dillon jersey?
Well, you know, when I was back in Cincinnati, man, they used to knock on my door. They used to have my jersey on and stuff like that. I thought it was awesome. So, yeah, I'm just not a big Halloween fan, you know, but you know what? I still passed out candy back in the day. You know what I mean? Because I lived in that community where there was a lot of kids and they knew who I was. So, you know, I kind of catered to them, and you know what? It seemed kind of odd back then to just sit there and, you know, turn the lights off and let them pass by my door. So, you know what, back in the days, I used to get it in and pass out candy. Now that I'm solo and I ain't got to worry about football and not too many people know where my door is, I don't have to worry about that.
You know, obviously, you know, they had two options, both the Bengals Corey Dillon jersey or the Patriots one. And that's kind of where I'll start out, you know, with the Bengals. Okay. You know, obviously you started your career there before, you know, you went on and won your Super Bowl ring in New England. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, obviously the Bengals, they drafted you in the second round out of University of Washington. You know, you were a Pro Bowler there. I mean, what are, you know, both your highlights and lowlights and some of your memories that you have from your time at Cincinnati?
I mean, we did some great things in Cincinnati, man. Like, you know what? Breaking the single game rookie rushing record with 246 that was held by Jim Brown. Also, you know what? Breaking Walter Payton's record of 275. That's still for years. So there's a lot of great memories, you know, and then great friendships along with teammates there that I still keep in contact with. The lows, I would say, man, just the losing, man. I think that kind of wore on me and others in some sense. So the whole move was predicated on, you know what, my career is coming. You got to look in the mirror sometimes and be like, you know what, you got paid. What do you really want out of this? What was you really seeking initially? And my goal was playing football. The thing that eluded me the most was winning a championship. So I felt I had to put myself in the best position to go after that dream.
Well, and you know, you mentioned you wanted to win a championship, and that's exactly what happened when you went to New England. You know, right away in 04, you know, you guys won that Super Bowl, and I actually clearly remember watching an interview you did after the AFC Championship game. I don't remember the name of the reporter who interviewed you, but he specifically asked you, you know, how excited are you to go to a Super Bowl after all the losing in Cincinnati? I don't know if you clearly remember that interview, but he specifically asked you about, like, what was it like to finally be on a winner? But, you know, you had a great season that year. And the interesting thing with the Patriots, like, I'm here in the Boston area, so many years since you've retired, they've gone with like a running back by committee, and they have like a down back and then a guy who can catch pass out of the backfield and then like a 1-2 down power back. But you were like a, you know, every down back on the Patriots, which lots of teams do, but it's not really a Patriots thing. And I mean, your first season, you know, you had over 1600 yards and 12 touchdowns. And like I said, Belichick doesn't like to just put the ball in one guy's hands the entire game. So you know, what was your secret to get Belichick to trust you? Were you kind of like a Belichick whisperer, or what, you know, what were you able to do?
No, I think Coach recognized my talent, first of all, and he knew what I brought to the table. And then second of all, I think the real motivation behind it was Charlie Weiss. I think he wanted to run the ball heavily. And we sat down and we spoke like one-on-one. And he told me, man, like, Corey, I don't want no watered down version of you, man. Like, I want that guy who's known for going out there and running the ball hard. So he said, don't come here and change anything about you. Just do your job. So I think Charlie Weiss and the scheme of the offense that year, he just wanted to pound the ball more than usual. And then, you know what, it worked out for me.
Well, and, you know, also kind of building off that, you know, you played that traditional running back role. And I talked about how the Patriots like to use multiple running backs, but also, you know, the game in the NFL has changed somewhat. And I actually saw Adrian Peterson did an interview recently where he said, like, he would encourage, like, high school and college football stars to not play running back because they're not used as much in the NFL now. I mean, you know, why do you think the game is kind of shifting from the traditional smash mouth football?
Well, I think it's more of a passing league, to be honest with you. So, and you know what, you got a lot of great quarterbacks in the game as we speak, and a lot of great receivers. And I don't know who came up with the analytics about this stuff about, like, you can win by passing, man. I'm from the old school, man. And I understand, man, running the ball is crucial. But I just think the league just done shifted from the traditional powerhouse game into more of a passing game. And I think that's where the running backs are getting lost in an equation, man. They're becoming extinct, and hopefully they come back around.
Yeah, I mean, the old school style of football is fun. It's funny. Like I mentioned, right. I'm here in the New England area now, but I actually grew up in Baltimore. And when I was young, the Ravens won a Super Bowl almost not throwing the ball. They had obviously defense. Yeah, and obviously they had Ray Lewis and everyone on defense, but they would just hand the ball to Jamal Lewis. And he didn't – I mean, he never moved his feet. He would just run through people, you know, and just, you know, put the defensive players in a coma every time he touched the ball. But, I mean, were there any specific running backs, whether it's guys you're playing – who played at the time that you did or – prior to you, who you tried to emulate from a playing style standpoint?
Oh, wow. I mean, I played with, hey, you brought up Baltimore, man. I was in that same division back in the day. So I know Jamal and Bettis and Fred Taylor and Eddie George, man. That was the old North. So, but the guy that I watched a lot of film on and looked up to was Jim Brown. So that was my guy, and I kind of stole a lot of his stuff, to be honest with you, man. So he's my all-time favorite, along with Walter and Eric Dickerson and a lot of others, Tony Dorsett, Barry Sanders, the list goes on and on. But my all-time favorite, I have to get that to Jim Brown.
Yeah, I mean, he was a beast, no question about it. But you know, obviously, I mentioned, you know, your time in Cincinnati and, you know, your time in New England. And, you know, I mentioned some of the accolades. You made four Pro Bowls. The Patriots also, you know, as I mentioned, they named you to their all 2000s team. And, you know, personally, you know, I would have, you know, with all the success you had in Cincinnati, I would have liked to see you, you know, get more accolades from the Bengals organization as well. And, you know, if you look at the stats, I mean, they kind of, you know, speak for themselves as far as what you did while you were there. But do you anticipate, you know, the Bengals being open to, you know, maybe putting you in the Ring of Honor further down the road or the Team Hall of Fame? Or do you think they're just going to kind of dig their feet into the mud?
Well, you know what? Hopefully, you know, and eventually, you know, everybody could come to a conclusion that I need to be there. I can't control others. I mean, my stats speak for themselves, and I'm just saying, in due time, we gotta take a step back. It took them 50 years to get to this process of doing a Ring of Honor. So, in that process, there's a lot of guys, quote unquote, that need to be in there, and the message I'm hearing is like it's backlogged. And they're trying to do the best they can to get players and push players through. My only gripe with that situation initially is like, you know what, I seen some guys that were on my squad that I played with that got in, right? So my thing was like, my credentials was up there too. You know what I mean? And we're not promised tomorrow. That was my whole thing. We're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what's gonna happen. I don't want my kids speaking on my behalf on some field, you know, honoring me. I want to be there. You know what I mean? I want to be there in person and actually experience that for myself. So that was my whole argument. And, you know, just sitting back and looking back on it, man, you know what? It's not on me. It's like they just started this like 2 years ago. And the process is what it is. And hopefully, you know, they come up with some formula that changed the format and start getting people in sooner than later.
Yeah, I mean, it does kind of seem a little all over the place the way they kind of evaluate things and make decisions. I mean, I don't know if you're a baseball fan, but it's similar. Like in baseball, there's been a lot of debate in recent years about the Hall of Fame and like some of the best players of all time haven't gotten in there.
Right.
And yeah, but then other guys have gotten in and you're like, that guy, you know, so it's just kind of all over the place. And it's weird, like when athletes are playing, I feel like they make decisions on playing time based on who the best is. But I feel like once athletes retire in these different sports, the post-career accolades are more political and not 100%. Yeah. Not 100% based on, you know, your actual ability to play the game.
Exactly.
But yeah, but then, you know, obviously, you know, you did eventually, you know, move on from the game and retire. Before I get to that though, you know, also, you know, on the Patriots, they always talk about the Patriot way. And, you know, like I said, I live here in the New England area. Everyone would get right. mad at me if I didn't ask you this, but what was it like? People see like the grumpy Bill Belichick press conferences and they know about Brady, but you know, what's it like behind the scenes though? Like being around those guys, and is it everything it's cracked up to be, or, you know, was there a moment when Belichick was like, hey guys, I'm trolling everyone. I'm actually pretty chill.
Listen, you would have to be there to experience Bill Belichick, man. I get his persona like on camera, man. That dude is funny. He got a sense of humor, man. We used to laugh in the team meeting room all the time off of some of the stuff he would say. So, yeah, in-house, man, he's funniest dude in the building. But when the cameras is rolling, man, that's just his thing. Like, he ain't gonna give you too much, man. And that experience coming from Cincinnati, going to New England, man, that was the best experience, the best 3 years, period. I had such a good time playing and being in that atmosphere with my teammates, and I mean, just the coaching staff and the ownership, man. It was a good time.
No doubt about it. And, you know, also, you know, who were some of your favorite teammates when you were on that team?
Oh, man, shoot. Kevin Fall, Patrick Paz, Tully Bantekang, Roosevelt Colvin, Rodney Harrison, of course, TB, you know, Vrabel, Brewski, Azanti, Samuels. I mean, the list goes on and on. I think everybody in that locker room was pretty cool. Everybody got along. There was no animosity or beef with nobody that I know of. And you know what? The thing I love the most is we had one mission. When we put them pads on, man, our whole mission is to go out there and win the game. And that's what I loved about being in that locker room. It doesn't matter what's going on. Sunday comes, it's game time. And everybody, you know what, showed up and did their job. And that's the Patriot way. Come to work, do your job, and go out there and win the game. And that's what we did majority of the time.
You know, a lot of those names you mentioned are, you know, New England legends. I mean, I remember you mentioned Brewski. I remember he called you clock-killing Corey Dillon because there was
right.
that, I think it was the playoff game against the Colts.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, you're running like crazy, and they almost never had the ball on offense. The other guy you mentioned, do you still talk to Patrick Pass at all?
Yeah, man. I holler at Patrick Pass often. So, yeah, we keep in contact, man.
The reason I specifically ask about Patrick Pass, I used to work with him.
No way.
I did some work in arena football. He was the head coach of the Massachusetts Pirates for a little bit. We don't have enough time. I could tell you funny stories about Patrick Pass for like an entire episode, but you know, then obviously I mentioned, you know, once you finished up with the Patriots and retired, I mean, I've talked with a lot of guys, former pro athletes, about how weird it was, you know, not playing anymore after that's been, you know, been your whole life. But like, what was the transition like for you?
Oh man, it was a little gray ass sometimes, knowing like you've been on a regiment and a schedule for so long and then that's gone. I mean, it was like clockwork every year, like 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then that finally stops. So it kind of, it messes you up for a little bit. But you know what? I found things to do, kids, golf, you know, hobbies, just to take my mind off in that aspect of it, man. And dude, I've been gone for a long, long time. I just forgot about football. I was just like, you know what? I know it's a part of my life, but you know, that part of my life has been over with, and I'm just now Corey, and that's how I live my life. I just want to be normal, just normal life, normal things, nothing too special. And that was just my mindset when I retired, just to live a normal life. And I've been doing that for the most part.
Well, and it's funny, a lot of, you know, NFL guys I've talked to also, they said that when they retired, they didn't want to work in the NFL, especially a lot of guys who had families,
right.
Because they said, like, you know, if I were to become an NFL assistant coach, I would never spend time with my kids. That's like exactly. The number one. Yeah. The number one reason a lot of ex-NFL guys I've talked to have said they didn't want to work for NFL teams is because they had families. And, you know, I know you're a father. I mean, I know it would have been hard to become an NFL assistant coach and balance that with family time. But was there ever any consideration to like being a running backs coach or offensive coordinator, or were you just like, I'm done once you retired?
I thought about it, but man, like you said, man, like the time is so demanding. Imagine a player is from 5 to 6. Imagine coaching staff. It exceeds beyond that. So it's time consuming, and you really don't have a life until the off season. And those are the things I ponder. Was like, man, I'm done. You know what I mean? And that game done consumed me ever since I was like 6 years old. So, I mean, in my mind, like when I retired, I'm really retired. I'm like, I don't want nothing to do with it. So, and that's exactly what I did. So for the most part of it, man, I thought about it, but the hours and how that job is so demanding of being a coach is ridiculous. I didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. But you know, obviously, you know, you've been doing a lot of different appearances lately, right. Both, you know, in Cincinnati and you know, in the New England area. And you know, what have some of the things you know your new interests been, you know, since you got out of football?
Oh man, shoot. I'm just a dad, man, and living my life accordingly, man. And my main focus right now is just being happy and being happy with life. You know what I mean? So I done missed out on a lot of things playing that game, man. And I'm coming into my own and just, you know, finding my own happiness and not worrying about the sports stuff so much, so to say. That part of me is kind of done and over with, and I just like being normal Corey and going to the grocery store buying my buying my groceries, not being bothered, and you know what I mean. So that's the highlights of my days nowadays is, you know, a little golf here and there, and just kids and just trying to live a happy life.
Well, and you know, you mentioned, you know, you don't want people always just bothering you when you're out and about. You know, you're a private guy, but I'm curious also because you know, there are some guys, if you're like a practice squad player for 2 years and get cut,
right,
you know, a few years after you retire, probably people in the street have no idea who you are. I mean, you know, for a guy like Tom Brady, he will be recognized for the remainder of the time he's alive on planet Earth. But,
right,
you know, and I've heard, again, it depends on how well known you were when you played, but like, I've heard some guys have said, like, the first few years out of the league, I still got recognized. It doesn't happen as much. But, like, what's it like for you? I mean, do people still approach you a lot?
Every blue moon. But for the most part, man, I'm incognito, man. I don't present myself like, you know what, I still play football. So nobody would never know unless they're a real football buff and be like, oh, That's Corey Dillon. It only happens like when they get my credit card and they be like, are you that Corey Dillon? You know what I mean? And then I'll be like, yeah, you got me. So for the most part, man, every blue moon, somebody be like, hey. But other than that, man, I go about my day in peace.
I mean, that's the way to do it. And like you said, you know, you moved on to kind of focusing on just spending time with your family, being happy, living life. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely probably less stressful than, you know,
right,
day-to-day NFL grind and the limelight. You know, also I mentioned, you know, your public appearances and different things you do. You know, for any big Corey Dillon fans listening, I mean, what are some of your upcoming events and, you know, where and when will your fans be able to see you?
All right. I got an appearance this Friday with ZTV in Cincinnati. And that's going to be there down in Cincinnati at 3:00. And then I got another appearance on Saturday with Sports Gallery, you know, and that's going to be from, I say, 3 to 4:30 in Cincinnati. So I got some things coming up this weekend, and then I'm going to be actually attending the Buffalo Cincinnati game. So that's going to be pretty cool. So I get to go down there and enjoy that game. And then coming up in November, I got another autograph in Boston at the stadium. So yeah, I'm kind of busy this month. So we're gonna figure out how I'm gonna get some sleep this month. But for the most part, man, it's gonna be a fun time. And then in December, man, I'm gonna be attending the Kansas City Patriot game. So I'll be down there in Foxborough.
Nice. Yeah, that, I mean, and there's some big matchups. Yeah,
right,
Bengals and the Bills have been such good
series
years. I mean, Kansas City is obviously unbelievable. Yeah, some fun games to watch. But you know, Corey, definitely appreciate you joining me on the podcast, like I said, and everyone, definitely if you're in the area, check out his events. But once again, everyone, that was my guest today, Corey Dillon. You've been listening to the Leverett Ball Show.